So, welcome back. This is Femme Bolden, episode 5, and part 2 of our body issues. To recap, last time we had Kat Umano come and join us to talk a lot about body issues, body image, and Kat is again joining us today.
Mm-hmm. And Kirsten Pope's still here too, I'm just, you know.
And I am Stephanie Graf.
So we're all here.
As you all know. So to just start off right from the gate, we wanted to talk about birth control.
It's a hot topic lately.
It is a hot topic on a national scale. And again, we are located in Provo, Utah. So in a conservative culture like that, I feel like it's always a semi-warm topic, just brewing underneath the surface. So our intro story today.
Another juicy one.
If any of you remember sweet, sweet Dirk.
Dirk is back, y'all.
Dirk never goes away. if any of you remember Dirk from episode 1, that sweet man is bringing us back again. He just keeps popping up.
I mean, if anything good came out of the relationship, it's that you have so much fodder for the podcast.
Exactly.
Little did you know.
That relationship, like, I was always, like, the little spark of feminism was there. But then, like, that relationship just threw lighter fluid on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is me. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm. It's your that relationship was your feminist awakening.
Phoenix coming from the ashes. So, Dirk, we dated for a few months and it went really fast and we started talking about marriage pretty quickly. It was an interesting situation because we were on the verge of getting engaged, and then he also was roommates with his two brothers who were engaged. So it was just this really weird artificial marriage vacuum that I was living in for a little bit. But talking to him and his brother's fiancés at the time, it became alarmingly apparent that this family had radically different ideas on birth control than I did. And with someone that I, at the time, I loved and I wanted to marry, that's a little alarming to be realizing that late in the game. I guess, like, spoiler alert, I'm fully on board with birth control, not just for actual birth control, but for hormonal control and balance and things like that. But their family was just very, very, like, old school Mormon, old school conservative, and we're just, like, pretty opposed to it. And so as part of a religion class I was taking at BYU, we had to, like, write on an issue. And so I wrote a 7-page research paper with citations.
Wow.
And handed it to him to passive-aggressively proofread on how our church approves of birth control and how it's normal and it's okay. I guess just starting the discussion on birth control, like,
Wait. What were his reactions to your paper?
Oh, he was just like, yeah. I mean, I see that this is true, blah, blah, blah. But, like, homeboy wasn't bending. Homeboy, like, was stubborn.
Reluctant agreeance?
Reluctant agreeance, yeah.
Agreement, sorry.
But, I mean, it's almost 2017. I mean, it was 2015 at the time. And so why, I mean, birth control has been around in some form forever. And so why is it still so controversial?
Well, what were their objections? What were their family's objections to birth control?
Oh, just very old school Mormon. Like, you know what? You are here. You're married so you can bring as many children as possible, like, onto the earth so that you can, you know, that, like, that's what you're here for. That's what you're married for. That's why you're a woman here on earth, is to bring, like, as many kids as possible. And whereas for me, I'm like, well, I want kids. I want to choose how many kids I have, and I want to choose when I have them. And I don't just want to be a baby-making machine. I want to be able to have sex with my husband without being afraid of getting pregnant every time. All these modern conveniences that really we take for granted.
Kat?
Right. Well, I was just going to...
I can tell you have something on your mind.
Right. Well, I've dealt with a lot of criticism for years and years because I don't personally want kids ever. And I've known that since I was a little kid. It's just something that I I didn't see as fitting into my life and just not something that I ever wanted. I have nothing against kids. I'm not, like, a baby hater. it doesn't fit in with what I want to do with my life, and I'm just not a maternal woman. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten so much criticism from so many people, and if I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, you'll change your mind, or, oh, you don't know what you want. And it's like, it's so
Which is very condescending.
I was about to say, it's so condescending and it's so rude. It's like, don't tell me what I want and don't want in my life and that I can't make my own decisions and that I'm this terrible person and less of a woman because I don't want to be a mother. My life doesn't have any less value because I don't mother children.
Right.
So the struggle continues.
Well, that's it's interesting for me. I mean, if you don't mind me, like, asking. So you're not Mormon. So you're not a member of the church.
I'm not.
But you feel like you've gotten, like, the same pressure to have kids even outside of, like, this, like, religious context.
Yes.
Good observation.
Yes. Yeah. Like, anywhere that I moved. Because I grew up in Massachusetts. I also lived in New York. I also lived in Georgia. And now I'm here in Utah. But, yeah, from people back home in Massachusetts, like, super open, liberal, like, it doesn't matter where you go. It's always, like, this just blows their mind that how could you possibly not want kids? Because I don't. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so outside of the Mormon culture and everything.
It still exists.
Mm-hmm. Has it come up here in Provo?
A little bit. I mean, not, I don't think any more than usual, but I've found that not just here, although a little bit more here, that a lot of the times people will just kind of assume, they're like, oh, well, when you have kids, when you're a mother. And it's like, actually, yeah, I'm not. And so it just becomes this assumption that that's just what you do. Like, you're a woman, so obviously you're going to reproduce. And it's like, well, but I've found that it's kind of becoming more, I don't want to say more popular, but just kind of more
accepted.
More accepted that there are just women out there who just don't want kids, and that's okay, or it should be okay.
Yeah. But. Well, I mean, given the fact that this half of our Body Image and Body Issues podcast is more about how things affect you internally, I think that's a really good thing to bring up because it gets to the root of why people assume that women want kids. And at least, like, here, I think especially in the LDS Church and in Provo, people throw around this N-word, this nurturing word. Mm-hmm. This women are inherently nurturing, nurturing, nurturing. I've talked to a lot of my friends about that because me personally, and I think a lot of people in our generation are kind of saying, I don't feel like I'm inherently nurturing. But these outside forces are telling me, but you are. You were born nurturing. Yes, I consider myself, like, a very kind and loving person, but would I ever describe myself as a natural nurturer? No. And which is okay. And, you know, men don't have that expectation to be naturally nurturing.
Right.
But it's okay for women to say, I wasn't born with this trait, but that doesn't make me any less of a woman.
Right. And that's one thing that I've struggled with. I mean, I've always been very, like, can't find the word for it right now. But I've always, like I said before, I've always known that I don't want kids. I'm not a very maternal, nurturing person. Mm-hmm. Similar to what you were saying before is I've always found that, you know, I believe myself to be a very, like, loving, kind person. But just not one that I don't really see myself as very maternal. It's just not something that comes naturally to me. I have two nieces that I absolutely love, but it's just not in me. Like, it's just doesn't come naturally to me. There have been times where I'm like, okay, well, like, is there something wrong with me that I don't have this maternal instinct and that, you know, I feel like I have something, you know, feel like I'm less of a woman because I'm not a good mother. I wouldn't be a good mother. Whereas a guy, if they're not, like, amazing with kids, it's like, oh, well.
He'll make money.
Eh. Yes. Yeah. That is, I mean, this is such a feminist issue. It's just, I mean, oozing with, like, I'm with feminism. I went out to lunch, well, brunch with my friend the other day to clarify.
I just want to make sure it was brunch.
Oh, anyway, with my friend the other day, and she's a newlywed, and she's here at BYU, and she's definitely feeling this pressure associated with having children, and she does not want children at this time, although it's definitely in the plan at some point. But there's so much guilt and shame associated with that, where she feels guilty that she doesn't want children right now, and feels a sense of shame that she doesn't have that desire right now. Contrasting, I just had a friend from high school had her first child the other day, and so I'm just kind of seeing these two juxtapositions. And
I myself would think both life plans are totally perfectly acceptable, but especially with an LDS context and even apparently outside of that, we tie mothering and having children to not only to obedience in the church, but also to, like you were talking about earlier with Dirk's family, with purpose. So if you're not fulfilling, if you're not having children or if you don't want children.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Exactly. Right. What, you know, what's your purpose? What's your role? Like, what are you good for? Mm-hmm. And also you have this connotation in the church that you're also disobedient or somehow you don't want to follow the prophet or you don't mm-hmm. have a testimony as strongly as other people or whatever. You don't, you know, want to keep your covenants or yeah. what have you. And that's a very damaging rhetoric because there is that guilt and shame associated with that, associated with a natural feeling. And anytime you associate guilt or attach guilt and shame to a natural feeling, it's very damaging psychologically right. and emotionally.
Right. I've met people who the girl will be like, oh, I'm not really sure if I want kids or I don't really know if I want to, but I'm just going to do it anyway. Or like something along those lines. And it's like, you shouldn't bring a child into the world just because you feel obligated to. It should be because you want to bring another life into this world with your partner. Yeah. And
you feel comfortable being able to mother that child.
Right.
Right.
You're in a position
not
where
everyone
you can provide.
Is made to mother. Right. Not everyone is actually a nurturer, despite the common mm-hmm. rhetoric.
And it doesn't make you a bad person if you don't want to nurture a child. Because, I mean, that's a hard responsibility. There's a lot of things associated with that. It's not something that you should be taking lightly. Because it's like, it's a lifelong commitment that you should, that you're right. You shouldn't mm-hmm. take it on a feeling of social obligation. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to separate yourself from that socially
it's
constructed
so hard.
I mean, even if you recognize that this is a social construct, it's still hard to disassociate those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I think it's, yeah, it's both internal and external. I mean, people say things and then, like, it's how it affects you. So moving beyond birth control and, you know, having kids a little bit, we wanted to touch on changes that women have to go through in their bodies, mm-hmm. like whether optional or not, or whether medical. I was actually talking to one of my best friends. She has a coworker who had to get a double mastectomy. And we just talked a little bit about how that has changed her perspective of herself, her self-image, her self-worth, and how she just feels less sexy, which is very interesting because, you know, from a biological standpoint, yeah, she could still have kids. I mean, it mm-hmm. didn't damage her reproductive organs, but just the way that, like, because we have sexualized breasts, that because that's such a part of her identity as a woman.
Right. It's become such a symbol of feminism mm-hmm. and just femininity mm-hmm. that, yeah, when you lose that for whatever reason, that you feel like you're less of a woman, or some tend to feel that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, which really, I mean, at the root of that, it's that your identity as a woman is tied
to
your body, which, I mean, obviously, like, my body and my genetic makeup, like, that's what I consider makes myself a woman. But, I mean, if someone were to cut my boobs off, I would still be a woman. But, I mean, personally, yeah, that would change my body. That would change the way I look at it, not just the way others look at me, but, like, the way that I am. I mean, it's such a symbol of being a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know what the feminist response to that would be, because my personal feminist ideology would say to retain the virtues and aspects of, I mean, virtue isn't necessarily the right word there, but the aspects of femininity. Thank you. Regardless of your physical appearance.
Which those aspects of femininity being whatever you dang well choose them to be.
Right. Not nurturing necessarily.
But if you want to,
I mean, sure. If you're into that, that's cool.
Exactly. Everyone, you do you. None your business. But I mean, just sticking on this boob topic, I was also talking to my coworkers about public breastfeeding. And it wasn't a topic that I felt super strongly about before because it's not super pertinent in my life, right. A single person with no kids. But I got fired up.
Oh, dear.
I got fired up. So it was my coworker, she has one kid and he's two now. So, but she was talking about when she was younger, when her son was younger, she would be at church or in public or somewhere. And she's very pro public breastfeeding because, I mean, pretty much anywhere else in the world, they're fine with it. Not just South America, but like Europe, like everywhere, it's very commonly accepted. My boobs are to feed my children. And if I have children, I'm going to feed them.
That
like,
is their utilitarian purpose.
Yes. And like, I don't know why America's so weird about that. But she was talking about how she would just, you know, take it out to feed her son. She said that a woman came up to her in church and said, you know, like, my husband's here. Like, can you please put your boob away? Which, like, is there anything less sexy than, like, a child
attached
for your boob? Like, is there? And she said she was so offended. She's like,
well, the lady who came over to her was so offended?
No. My coworker was offended because she was like, you know, like, if your husband can't handle me breastfeeding my child in public, that's a personal problem.
Yeah, that's his issue.
That you need to deal with. It was just like the sexualization of your breasts that, or she said, you know, when I do breastfeed in public, you know, people expect me to throw a blanket over my child. And she's like, mm-hmm. No, like, I am going to breastfeed my baby.
Right. I love the argument. It's like, do you expect me to, like, put a blanket over my head? Or, like, would you want to eat with a blanket over? Like, could you imagine, like,
let
sitting
me
in the
smother myself while
yeah,
I'm, like.
Yeah, let me just put a blanket over my face. Well, and it's like, it's not only that argument of, like, do you really expect everyone else to eat with a blanket over their head? But I also feel like with, you know, some of the women that I've known who have breastfed their children or tried to breastfeed, sometimes they deal with so many issues and it can be really difficult for women. And it's like, really? Yeah. And you're trying to throw this on top of it?
Yeah.
It's just such, like, a taboo
let's
thing,
let's just
too.
Make it so much more difficult.
Right.
Yeah. And so,
because you're a woman and that's what we do.
Right.
I mean, why do you guys think that is? That, like, in the U.S., and granted, I may not know all of the historical nuances, but
yeah,
why that's become I such a weird thing.
Breastfeeding, but... Well, I think it's what you were mentioning before, that boobs have just become so sexualized that we think that their only purpose and the only reason that they should be exposed is a sexual act or, mm-hmm. you know, for...
arousing other people.
Yes.
Yeah, and we forget that they do have a utilitarian purpose to feed your child, which, I mean, mm-hmm. how non-sexual can that be? Like, you're feeding a baby. I was actually in line at H&M the other day, and like, in the other line, there's a woman who is breastfeeding her kid publicly, which I was like, way to go. Way to make a stand. Get it, girl. And I'm just, like, being really vulnerable about my, like, failings in feminism. But I felt a little bit uncomfortable at first just because that's
new. You don't see that.
Yes, and I haven't.
Well, and I feel like we've been so, what is the word I'm looking for?
Conditioned.
There we go. Conditioned to think that it's this, like, shocking thing that how, yeah. you know, how dare a woman expose herself in public, that I think that it's not necessarily a fault of yours. It's just, because I feel like everyone kind of also has that reaction of, like, oh, yeah, oh, a boob, oh, okay. And then.
Yeah, and I had that awkward, like, I noticed this happening, but I don't want to, like, stare too much. But, like, but once you tell yourself that you can't stare, you can't look away. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, no, I'm staring at her boob. But, like, this is horrible. Anyway, this internal conflict the whole time.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that exciting, but.
So, like, that's the thing is, that, you know, that you have no opposition to this and find no issue with it, but you've still been conditioned mm-hmm. to think that it's this shocking, scandalous thing just
yeah,
because that's the culture that we've grown up in.
Gut reaction.
Right.
Which I think that's part of the reason why it's hard for this to change is because that's kind of everyone in our culture and
yeah.
nationwide. That's their reaction.
We're socialized beings who have this context in our mind and have, you know, reactions. And, yeah, I don't know the way to rectify that. I mean, I talked in the previous episode about my gut reaction to that guy in the car. And, I mean, I recognized that my reaction was this sociological construct that I was, you know, manifesting. But I don't necessarily know the way to respond to those things as a feminist.
Yeah, it's like, how do you fix it?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
how do I fix my socialization that has been ingrained in me for my entire life?
And it's one thing to fix and alter your own opinions of something or your own views mm-hmm. of something, which, you know, even though it's not something that, with the topic of breastfeeding, not something we disagree with as individuals, we've become so conditioned to respond that way.
Right.
So even if, you know, we change our own view or our own response to it, how do you
change perpetuate that with,
right. How do you manifest that change
to others
in that social world?
Right.
And I would say right now the way to respond wouldn't necessarily, I mean, again, breastfeeding isn't necessarily relevant to me right now. I mean, if I was breastfeeding at this time, I would say, well, now I'm going to go and publicly breastfeed. But I would think right now, as the person I am, I would say is to respond when those things happen, when things like the car situation, or if I'm with somebody and we are making physical judgments about somebody, or, mm-hmm. you know, gender judgments about people, to recognize those and to make known if this is a social situation that that's not okay. John Stewart once said that change is effort.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the thing, is so important to speak up about whatever the issue may be is, mm-hmm. you know, you might think to yourself, wow, that's totally not okay. But to make sure that you actually say something and let others know that this is not okay, and it's not how these things should be handled, and try and perpetuate that onto other people and mm-hmm. hopefully change their views on that.
Perpetuate the change. Because when people do externally start perpetuating that change, when it's not just enough to be angry about these things, but like when these things start getting perpetuated, I think the most important result will be that women and men, that their own view of themselves internally mm-hmm. will change on these things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, really at the core what we're going mm-hmm. for. Not society as a whole, really, but like these individual changes that people yeah. feel more comfortable
exactly.
with their bodies, with themselves.
And that will help to, like we talked about earlier about mastectomy, to resolve that issue as well, is to this detachment of yourself from the socialized view of your body, like the detachment mm-hmm. of your worth with those extrinsic things that happen, with that social context. Even though we're social beings, and it's kind of ludicrous to say, detach yourself from the social construct, because, I mean, I'm going to walk out of here and enter the social construct once
exactly.
again. But to somehow psychologically detach your personal worth as a human from that is the ideal and the goal.
Exactly. Which, that's a good place to wrap up. That was a mm-hmm. good conclusion.
Yeah. Look at us. We had a great discussion here. I feel fired up as a feminist. Thank you so much, Kat. We really appreciate you coming on. You've had some great stories and insight, and I just love talking with you because you're a very interesting person.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening. This is Fembolden.